pray. Bow your heads, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for this amazing opportunity that you've given us to hear from you. These great people did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, Heavenly Father. So I thank you, according to Isaiah, for giving me the tongue of the learned that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary. That my teaching, Heavenly Father, is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power. And Father, as Minister Quita said earlier, I just thank you that everyone here today has ears to hear what your spirit is saying. That your word today, Lord, is being sown on good ground. And I'm believing for a 30, 60, and a 100-fold return for this New Day family. But Father, I pray not for us alone, but I pray for our friends right next door at Pastor John Boss at Corona Friends, my friend Pastor John Sloan down the street at North Point. Bless their congregations this morning, Heavenly Father. Bless Pastor Jeremy, Connection Church, Pastor Julio, Father God, and West Grand Baptist, dear Lord God, Pastor Ron down at New Hope, Father God. We lift up just the Baptist churches, the Methodist churches, Calvary Chapel, Saddleback, Crossroads. Father, just pour your spirit out upon Corona today, dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And more specifically, Father, we pray for the 90,000 in this city that don't know you. We thank you for their salvation now. In the name of Jesus, let all who agree with us say, amen, amen. Repeat after me, please. These are our four core values here at New Day. Say, I will worship. I will connect, I will be equipped, and I will serve. Question, have you ever walked in, or are you flipping channels, and a movie's been on for about an hour, and the main character, you look at him or her, and it's like, ooh, you got issues. And you make a determination, you assess the character, the reputation of that person based on that little snapshot that you captured them in. And it's the same thing, too, with many people that you come across in life. You make a judgment call on based on where they are today. You don't know their beginning, and you don't know their end. It's the same thing with reading a book. You know, some people, you go to a bookstore, you're like, should I read this one? You pick it up halfway through, and like, ugh. See, that just might be a chapter. So Jesus died. He rose again. Now, at this point, shed blood, sacrifice offered, the sacrificial lamb. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's a done deal. Blood shed, right? Got power over death. He rose again. Why did he stay? Because we're in that season. We celebrated Easter. Why did he stay? Mission accomplished, right? Job done. Why did he stay? Well, last week we talked about him circling back. He had to come back because there was still some loose ends, if you would. So the sermon title today is Alive, It's Time to Live Again. And for some of us, it's time to get your hope back. It's time to dream again. And you've been through some things, and I want you to know that the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in you. Let's look at Acts 1:3 and verse 3. It says here on your handout, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, say after. After his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Now, the verse I really want to focus on today is Mark 16:7, and it says this, and I'll expound on it more. Now, go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. Now, go and tell his disciples, including Peter. Why did he single Peter out? Turn your hand out over, please. I want you to know that Jesus will circle back for you. Now, last week I told you, in fact, Jack and I are watching, we like watching Madam Secretary, the TV show. And if you guys that have taken our Destined for Purpose course, I always tell you, pay attention to what gets your attention, because what gets your attention gets you. And I've learned that with the TV shows that appeal to me, certain things that capture my eye, what is that about? And often it has to do with your purpose. Those are things that resonate within you. And I've learned that about Madam Secretary because I have such a global mind. You know, I'm presenting to the advisory team and some new advisory team members later on today. And as I was putting that presentation together, it was like, good Lord, I just begin to see all that I've done since the 8 years we've been here internationally. And I had not yet sat down and looked at it cumulatively like I did here. My point about Madam Secretary is that as we're watching it, they got stuck on an issue, and then one of the characters said, we're going to circle back and come back to that. And I mentioned that Leela here said that to me, was that earlier this year, we were working on Fresh Start, another a program that Jack and I are developing for transitional age youth that are coming out of foster care into adulthood. And I got stuck, and Leela, you know, that's what she does for a living. You know, she works for businesses. She's a consultant, and Bush, you were pushing me. You were pushing me, Pastor. Okay, and we were going deeper and deeper, and it got to the point I was stuck. I couldn't answer her, and she said, "We're gonna circle back." So Peter had a situation that necessitated Jesus circling back, and we're gonna take a look at this here. Now, as we're reading this, what the thing I like to do, I like to insert myself within the scripture. And therefore, I can better understand it. It makes it no longer just something that happened over 2,000 years ago. I needed to be alive today. I need to understand how God works. So, Luke 22, we're going to begin in verse 31. Now, remember what I told you about coming in on a movie? We're going to come in the middle chapter right here, okay, in the middle of the movie right here. Verse 31, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Now, if you walked in on a movie and you see Jesus right then, Simon, Simon, Satan is asking to sift you as wheat. And you're like, that's a bad guy. And you with your holy self, anointed self, you know, you're spirit filled and you've been to Bible college and you watch Bible TV all week and you got some YouTube pastors that you love and you can exegete the scriptures and how wonderful. You would look at Peter at this point and you would say, oh, he opened up the door for the enemy. How unholy of him. And you probably would think his life is over. Satan is about to sift him, jack him up. And this is Jesus, of all people, telling him that. Think about it for a moment. Now, two things I want you to become aware of, though, okay? Let's go back on Peter for a moment. Let's go back for a second. Here, Jesus calls him Simon, Simon. And previously, Jesus had changed his name to Peter. And something for us to be aware of is this. You had a character before you came to Christ. You know, you had some ways and habits, some tendencies. Then as Lisa was singing this morning, get up, get up, get up. I saw you, get up, get up. She was growing. I'm glad I wouldn't sit down because if I would, I would have gotten up. amen. There are ways that things that we're behaving in a particular way, and I want to speak broadly because I don't want anyone to feel I'm singling them out this morning. Ways we would behave, and then we get saved. Or you got saved, and then you come to Christ, and then you're this new person. But there would be this pressure situation, and all of a sudden you'll revert back to your old self. Uh-huh. Now, I grew up in Louisiana. And I would hear the older people say, I was 8 years old when we moved to California, and my dad was a Baptist pastor, and we were very Baptist, okay? Yeah, so, and people would say, I'm going to lay my religion down and tell her. First, that's not correct grammar, but we're in South Louisiana, and that's how they talk. I'm going to lay my religion down. Then I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, a piece of it. I want to see you try that. Okay, just here's some of my mind. I'm going to lay my religion down, and then I'll pick it back up again. Backstory is this. So Jesus is, now, you think about when we do communion, okay? And usually one of the elders will stand here and lead us in that prayer, and it's a solemn moment. You know, you guys dim the lights, and it's all holy, and, you know, you got your bread, a wafer, and a little grape juice, and we don't do wine at New Day. Hallelujah. Some of y'all will be after service, be going back looking for some more. You got some more of that? No. So, hallelujah. So, you would take the, we're holding it like this. Now, this is when Jesus was actually having a Last Supper with these guys when this went down. And in the midst of them arguing about who is the greatest, in the middle of that, they begin to argue. Jesus is saying, I'm about to go to the cross. And they begin to argue amongst themselves about who was the greatest. The problem we have is humility. We really struggle with that. We all need, you know, Lisa sang two songs today. Somebody probably was like, why Ty give her two songs? And last week, Tim sang all three of them. We do it. Yeah, I was behind the scenes in my former church, and the number one group I had the most trouble with was the praise team. Oh, Jesus. Praise God, New Day's praise team is not like that, huh? Hint, hint, hint. Okay. Pastor Tyler, he ain't even looking up. It's like, we got some, help us, Jesus. Amen. But they begin to argue about who's the greatest. And then Jesus says, Simon, Simon, not Peter, Simon, Simon, because he slipped back. And some of us do that too. And then not only does it say Simon, it says Simon, Simon. Like, you really messing up. My middle name is Glenn. And you know when I knew I was in trouble? Tony Glenn! Oh, mama. Okay. I was in trouble then. And here we see Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Verse 32, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, I still call him Simon, that your faith should not fail. And I need to pause there for a moment, okay? The thing the enemy is after is your faith. Yes. I need you to hear me. If he can, because what's the opposite of faith? Fear. Where does he want you to live? In fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give you a spirit of So what, if God didn't give it to you, then who is it coming from? Why does he want you to live in fear? How do fearful people behave? All shy. You won't step into your purpose. You're worried about what people think. Hebrews 10, I think it's 38, 10, 35, 36, somewhere around there, it says this. God does not delight in those that shrink back. Can't shrink back. Now we sit in, I heard them singing today. I forgot the song, the second song. That's the first time I heard you guys do that one. About who we are and moving forward, and we're the kingdom, we got authority and all that. Okay, we talk that talk, but we don't walk it. I'm spirit filled. Then walk it out. What are you afraid of? Because I'm gonna tell you something, anything you elevate over God is an idol. So even when you elevate people's, your need to have people, your need for approval and to have people like you, that's idolatry. Anything you exalt over God, because the word of God clearly says that you are complete in Christ. If I'm complete, then I don't need anyone else. Now I know when I do weddings, do a bunch of them, and now we got the other ministers doing them. But here's the thing. And you hear the bride or groom say, well, he completes me. I get what you're saying, but guess what? I'm whole already. 4 people got that. Okay. I'm going to circle back on that one in July or something, okay? I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. That's what the enemy is after, your faith. He's after your faith. The just shall live by faith. That's 3 times in the New Testament, and a bucket says the just shall live by his faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must be people of faith. How great is your faith? I've never seen such great faith. And Jesus said to his disciples, where is your faith? Trust and belief in God is important. Why would you choose otherwise? And I really want you to sit on that for a second. Why would you choose otherwise? It says here, so when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Now, look at what Jesus said. When you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. In other words, I'm praying for you because you're about to go through something and you're going to get it together. You're going to come out. And when you do, help your brothers. I saw one of the members, I don't see her today, posted on Facebook about how she learned that God really helps her. Now she can help others. And I gave it a scripture to support that, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it says that how the God of all comfort comforts us when we're going through something so we can comfort others. Now, Peter's about to go through something, and as he comes out, he can empathize with his brothers and minister to them. So sometimes when you see somebody going through something, it's there to strengthen them, to grow them, and you got to still believe in them. Have all of you ever noticed, it's going to sound like I'm patting myself on the back, I'm not. Have you ever noticed how you come to me in your worst moment, and I still love you and still believe in you? Amen. You ever notice that? Now he didn't flinch, he didn't trip. I still got faith in you. Your situation did not catch God by surprise. Shock you. But it didn't catch God by surprise. And I'm going to tell you something about God. He allowed it. Because he could have stopped it. Now, you don't like it. I get it, because we do not like being uncomfortable. Whew. Think about it. You like being comfortable. Think about it. You guys an introvert? Introvert? You like keeping to yourself. You will create space for yourself. You always sit on the end seats, so don't nobody sit to the left. I know. Oh, you want to be comfortable. Then there's the other one, you extroverts. You want to know everybody's name in the room because it makes you comfortable. 33, and Peter said this. Now, Jesus just said, when you have repented, turn to me again and strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even die with you. Jesus probably fell on the floor laughing. Did y'all hear Peter? No, he didn't do that. But Peter overestimated himself. Can we have that photo, please? I think, y'all looking at me, I didn't send you a photo. Okay, I had a photo. It's in my nose. Really? Okay, well, I'll tell you what it was. It's of a superhero, a guy like, da da da, his cape flowing in the wind. And he's like ready for action, a generic superhero. Just he's ready for action. And that's how I think Peter saw himself as a superhero. Please remind me to get it for the second service, okay? I think he saw himself, he's like, I got this. I'm the greatest. I got this. And he didn't. And many of us overestimate ourselves. And I think one of the reasons he did is because of all of his previous experiences. Let me just, quick backstory on Peter. So Jesus, I'm just going to chronologically walk through his life with his ministry life for a moment. So Jesus, when Jesus starts his ministry, he's in a synagogue there in Capernaum where Peter lived. And there was a man with a demon. Jesus cast a demon out. And then it says after that, the disciples, they left there and went to Peter's home. Now, in Peter's home, okay, his mother-in-law was sick with a fever. He healed the mother-in-law. So Peter was married, okay? Healed the mother-in-law. She got up to serve them. And then it says when the sun went down, then everybody in that community came to Peter's door to need healing. Can you imagine that? That's like a giant healing crusade. Everybody come and demons are being cast out. Think about all of that. Think about it for a moment. It's amazing. Now, Peter is seeing all this. It's in his home. That morning they wake up and it says that Jesus had gone and isolated himself to go pray. And then Peter gets up and goes and looks for him and says, hey, you know, everybody's looking for you. And Jesus says, we must go to other cities also. So that's what I call a little short-term mission trip, if you would. So Peter and a couple of guys, they roll with Jesus. They end up back there on the Sea of Galilee. And then Peter's fishing and Jesus said, let me borrow your boat. Jesus teaches and then. He tells Peter, launch out in the deep. And Peter, like, I was fishing all night, didn't catch anything. You know, I know about this. You keep with the sermons and all that. I got this, though. You the carpenter. I'm the fisherman, okay? Stay in your lane, man. He didn't say that. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will go and let down the nets. And he goes, he lets down the net, and he pulls a boatload of fish. He has to call James and John to come and help him. And then he falls on his knees, and he says, get away from me, for I'm a sinful man. And my question is, when he healed your mother-in-law, why didn't you have that recognition then? I ain't mad at him. I just wonder. Just wonder about that. When he was healing all those people at your door, why didn't you have that recognition then? Some of us think we've had a full understanding of our ways, but he hadn't. But something happened when he caught that boatload of fish. He just fell on his knees and said, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Just like, get up. We got work to do. I'm going to make you fisher of men. And so you know the story. Then, like, there was an instance with Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus went into his daughter was dying. Jesus went in and healed the daughter. The spirit came back into her. And he only took Peter, James, and John in to see that. Later on, you know, it's time to feed 5,000, again, 4,000. Can everybody stand up for a moment, please? Just stand up. Because a number of y'all are sleeping. And the only one I think should really be sleepy is Elder Abraham, because right now his body thinks it's like midnight. Okay, yeah, everybody good? Take a deep breath, please. I just want you to get it, okay? You can have a seat. I just want you to get it. I just want you to get it, okay? I understand. I get it. I get it. I do. I get sleepy. I'm just like you guys, too. But I don't want you to miss something, okay? So then here's Peter. Jesus sends the 12 out, you know, and they cast out demons, and they come back and tell them how they healed the sick. And then Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain, and he transfigures in front of them. And then there's Moses and Elijah. And Peter hears them talking about the kingdom, about Jesus leaving, and he sees all of this. Isn't it amazing? So maybe all of that success and hanging out with Jesus kind of went to his head. Think about it. And then you begin to overestimate yourself. That's why you got to be careful when you have a number of successive victories. Then all of a sudden, you think like, oh, I got this. You ever seen boxers, fellas? You know, you get some boxers coming in, and we'll take his head out. Oh, I got him. Boom! Well, half of them. You know, you didn't train right. You thought you had this. We've seen it with football teams. Oh, we're going to take them. And they take you. And this is what I believe happened with Peter. Sometimes, Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback made a statement to a group of pastors a while back. He says the greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. Because you begin to think, you got this. You got this. I think I got Jackie. I think I got her. But Friday nights, we still do date night. Because I want to keep her. Other day You know, I had my waist, you know, yeah. And I'm like, you know, you didn't have that when you met her. Why you let that happen? Anyway, look at verse 34. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, You will deny three times that you even know me. Jesus is like, Peter, I'm going to die for you. But he's acting like Simon. He's not conscious of it. Now, here's what happened. So let's pick up the story. Let's drop down to Luke 22. Drop down to verse 54, please. 54, and we're going to read to verse 62, and we'll see here. So then, of course, you know, they came and arrested Jesus. We're going to pick it up at 54. So they arrested Jesus, him, and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. Why did he back off? He's scared. And he's probably caught him off guard. 55, the guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Strike one. Woman, I like to put, you know, that urban flavor to it. Woman! Yeah. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. And that's what you can tell a lot of times people are lying. They just get really like, no! Oh, yeah, you probably did. Okay. 58. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. And see, the thing about the Galileans, they had a different accent than those around Jerusalem. And, you know, you think about here in America, okay? Even though, you know, we one country, we got different accents. We're taking the boys back to, babe, you remember, Atlanta. We swung down through the south through, you know, New Orleans and Mobile, seeing family up to Atlanta. Now we're coming back out to 10. We stop in Jackson, Mississippi to get a bite to eat. And, Jackson, Mississippi. And in the van, so I just run in and order the food, you know, and I get to the counter, and the girl says, Mip. I said, huh? Mip you? And I lean in, you know, it's like, Mip you? I said, huh? She was saying, may I help you? She meant it one word. So I don't know what Peter said, but he gave himself away. You ain't from around here. And that's the thing about accents. Oh, Lord. Verse 60. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. But now 61 is a trip. 61 is powerful. Watch this. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Whoo. Whoo. Put yourself there for a moment. I'm going to die for you. I got your back. Military guys, I got your six. Six, that means back. 6 o'clock, okay. And he really believed that. And he's following at a distance. What is he going through emotionally? What's he thinking? What's he experiencing? He wants to stay close, but he wants to run. It's kind of double-minded. You quite don't know quite what to do. And that's what fear does. Fear stagnates. And all of a sudden, a young girl says, you know him. No. Another guy. No. And you guys that go to Israel with us next year, you'll be able to see this. It blessed me when I was there last year. I was able to actually see this. Jesus is standing there. Now, here's the thing about Jesus. Please hear this for a second. Here's the thing about Jesus. He's in the middle of about to go to the cross. You got these people lying. The whole, you know, they trumped up the charges on him and all that, right? And he's there going through his stuff. Think about it for a moment. I've already been through the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, take this cup from me. Think about it for a moment. And in the midst of his own anguish, he has time to look at Peter. My mother, I grew up in one of those households where my mother often, she didn't have to say nothing to me. She would just look at me. I could be in church with my little cousin Patrick. And me and Patrick doing something, and we knew to straighten up. That look. Now let's bring it home, modern day. You think nobody sees you at the no-tail motel? Put your shades on, your hat on, and park in the back. And Jesus is like, one of God's name is Jehovah Roy, R-O-I, and that means the Lord who sees. What does he see when he looks at you? What's he seeing? Here's the beautiful thing about Peter, though. Let's keep reading. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered that the Lord had said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. He just ran away. He couldn't handle it. But see, here's the thing about Jesus. See, he knew Peter was going to trip. He knew he was going to mess up. He knew it. 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 And he said, I already prayed for you. So see, that was a period for me and Jackie when everything was going great. And then all of a sudden, everything went bad with my business. Went bad. It went bad. And many of you, you've heard the story before. And so one of the things I kept doing, even when I stopped going to church, I kept setting aside my 10% for my tithe. I kept setting aside. And then I felt because we didn't have a house anymore, maybe Jackie didn't like me no more. And I was getting a little worried. I was. No, for real. I didn't realize it at the time. In hindsight, I could see what I was thinking. And then all of a sudden, a friend says, hey, let's go on a cruise. I took that tithe money, and that's how I paid for the cruise. So then Jackie becomes my idol above Christ. The worst cruise ever. And if you'd have come in on that chapter of my life, you would have thought, this dude's a loser. New Day is 8 years old, and we oversee 9 other churches. Now, Jesus, when he came from the grave, the women went to the tomb to see him. And he wasn't there. An angel was there. An angel said, go and tell the rest of the disciples, including Peter. See, even though I messed up, that doesn't mean it's over. God is a God of grace. He's a mighty God, a forgiving God. He knew I was going to mess up. He knew I was going to trip. But he still saw my end from my beginning. I didn't see it, but he saw it. Peter didn't see his end either. Because later on, Peter stands up. And he's spirit-filled now. And he stands before everybody, no longer afraid to deny Christ. He tells everybody, this Jesus of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, is the only way to heaven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. 3,000 people joined the church. Yeah, he had a moment. And if you walked in on that chapter, you should have stayed with the rest of the movie because Peter rose up. Yeah. Peter rose up. And just like Peter rose up, I want to challenge you to rise up. Let that you got to live again. You got to believe again. It's not over. Yeah. Yes, you messed up. Yes, you came up short. Yes, you were wrong. Yes, you were out of order. Yes, you sinned. But he'll pick you up, as my daddy said, out the miry clay and set your foot upon a rock. You got to believe again because he's no respecter of persons. He did it for Peter and he'll do it for you. Amen? Amen. 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 He will do it for you. Believe again. Hope again. Trust again. Live again. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Glory to God. Yeah, you messed up. You fell down. But get up. Get up. And one thing I learned is I start thinking them ahead of time, especially when it's dark, especially when things look crazy. Father, I thank you because you saw this moment. You knew I was going to have a tough time. You knew it was going to come up short. This didn't catch you by surprise, but you love me. You care for me. I know you have me. You're going to send people in a moment. A door is going to open. Favor is going to fall. It's going to happen because I'm yours and you're mine. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lean not into my own understanding in this. I'm going to be a man of faith. I'm going to choose life so that me and my children will live. I'm not going to shrink back. I am moving forward because I'm strong in Christ who always causes me to triumph in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. My best days are ahead. My greatest victories are ahead. My future is bright. The sun is shining. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. Yes, I am. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when I come in, blessed when I go out. Yes, Lord God. Yes, his spirit dwells in me. I'm going to live again. And he deserves all the praise. He deserves all the glory. In Jesus' name.